Hello and welcome to episode 29 of Could It Be Podcast. Today we're sharing Stephanie's story. Stephanie is a real sweetheart and I really enjoyed recording with her. Her story highlights the importance of having firstly the capsules removed when you're explanting, but also having them sent off for the appropriate lab testing as well. She found out some really important life-changing information through that and has gone through a completely different recovery from her explant due to that. I hope you enjoy this episode, and here is Stephanie's story. I'd like to wish a very warm welcome to Stephanie to the podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Do you want to start by telling us a little bit about yourself and where you're joining us from today?
Sure. My name is Stephanie Lang. I just actually got married back in October. Thank you. I'm from Long Island, New York. And I'm excited to be on this podcast with you.
Beautiful. Tell us about your initial reason for getting breast implants.
So I got breast implants back in 2000. I actually was 25 at the time and I was going through a divorce and I just had my son. So at the time, I kind of had a boyfriend that kind of sort of encouraged me to get breast implants, and I kind of decided, well, you know what? I might as well do it. So in 2000, I got actually the textured saline implants, which now today I realize those were the ones that were recalled. So little did I know back then that they were really bad for you.
I didn't realize that they did textured saline implants. I had the textured silicone ones.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So mine were recalled as well. Okay. Mine were the ones that were causing the certain types of the breast implant associated anaplastic large cell lymphoma. But I didn't find that out until after my explant. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that. I thought it was just the saline implants, but wow, that's great. That,
silicone as well.
I didn't even realize they had it in silicone as well. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot we're still learning, hey?
Oh, yeah.
What did you think of your implants when you first had them? Like,
they were fun. I mean, I loved them. It was great. After having a baby, they, you know, like they got stretched out. And at the time, I was like, oh, I don't want any scars. So I got the implants to kind of fill up all that saggy skin and everything. And, but I loved them. Absolutely loved them. Until I started to get really sick.
Yeah. Tell us about that, how you heard about breast implants and also like what kind of symptoms that you had with your illness.
So I had the saline implants until 2008. And then I decided, you know what, it was time to get them changed because we all know that they only last for about 10 years. So I said, oh, you know what, I'm going to get the silicone implants. And I figured that's better. They, you know, they look more natural. And in 2008, I had a breast implant exchange, and I went to silicone. I'd say within 1 year after having the silicone implants is when all of a sudden I started developing all these different types of symptoms. The first symptom was Hashimoto's, which I had no idea what that was. Mm-hmm. But I started to have all these thyroid issues and I was extremely cold all the time. I was losing my hair. I gained some weight. I started getting all these symptoms and I had no idea what was causing them. And I said, you know what, something just isn't right. So I started to go on the computer. I Googled different things and I found this breast implant illness. And I'm like, wow, this is really crazy because all of these symptoms are what I'm going through. And that's kind of what started my journey with like realizing that breast implants do cause illness.
So what process did you go through to organize your explant surgery? Just for information for anyone. So like in Australia, like I've talked about getting a referral from a GP, that kind of thing, just okay. So that anyone in the US gets like a bit of an idea as to what they need to go through to see a surgeon.
So here, what I started to do is I started to do my research and I wanted to find a plastic surgeon that understood not only taking out the implant, but also taking out that capsule, because that capsule is the most important thing when you take, when you're getting the implants out, because it kind of holds all the, I'll say toxins, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. So I did my research. I was on that computer. I was looking, and I finally found a doctor in Florida that has done a lot of explants. And she comes very highly recommended. And I said, this is who I'm going to. And I called up and made my appointment. I didn't see her, but I was like, I'm going ahead with her. I'm going to do my surgery. And when I did my appointment, it was actually a year out. I booked my surgery and my consultation. It was a year. I didn't care because I said, you know what? I want a doctor that understood my needs. So that was my surgery was scheduled for my surgery was scheduled for May of 2020. So March of 2020, we all know what started, and the pandemic happened, and I had to cancel the surgery because no elective surgeries were being done. And the surgery got actually pushed till December of 2020. So I was like, okay, I'll just wait till December. And my husband actually said to me, I get very emotional with this part. He said, can you please see a doctor in New York? And I'm like, no, I'm going to this doctor. She comes very highly recommended. Well, he pushed me, which I'm very grateful that he did, because I found a doctor in New York that understood my needs, understood that I wanted to do the explant as well as the en bloc. And when I met this doctor, his name was actually Dr. Light, he actually had a surgery date that was sooner. So I was a little like shocked now, because I was preparing my surgery to be December of 2020. And all of a sudden now, he has an availability for October of 2020. So I felt it was the right decision. I knew he was the right doctor, and I had my explant done on October 5th of 2020.
Tell us about your surgery, because it was a bit of a different story to what we've had on the podcast before.
Correct. So I had my explant done. I was feeling absolutely wonderful as soon as it was over. I was extremely happy. I went for my 2-week follow-up, which I was so happy because, one, I got to have those drains taken out, which were, you know, pain in the butt.
Yes.
So I was so excited about that, as well as also I really felt amazing. And when I went in for my post-op, I met with, you know, Dr. Light, and he's like, how are you feeling? And I said, oh, I feel like $1 million. And his reaction was, oh. And I was like, oh. And I kind of thought that was a little odd, because I think you'd be happy, you know, like I'm feeling really great. And he says, let's talk about your pathology. And I knew at that point, as soon as he said it, I was like, it's not good. Mm. And he said, no. He said, we found breast cancer.
And that was in the capsule.
It was on the capsule. It was a 3 millimeter spot that was on my capsule. Like, talk about finding a needle in a haystack. It was literally a miracle. So at the time, I can't even remember what he was saying. It was kind of like, you know, that Charlie Brown, like, wah, 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 you know, and I'm like, this can't be happening to me. Mm. Like, there's no way. I'm like, breast cancer, me? And sure enough, it was. And I did have the BRCA test done. I'm negative for that. I do have breast cancer in my family. My grandmother found out when she was about like in her 70s. So it's not hereditary, but, you know, I don't know. It's definitely something. So I did have to go down the road. I did do 17 rounds of radiation.
Wow.
Only because at the time they didn't know exactly where the cancer came from, because it was on the capsule. So they did the whole breast. And then, you know, for the next couple of, you know, like for the bit, I'd say for the next year and a half, you know, I had tons of appointments, oncologists, radiologists, breast surgeon, constantly going for your MRIs, your mammograms, your ultrasounds, all that. And they see something, they're biopsying it. And I finally decided that I was just going to, you know, just put this in my rearview mirror. And I wound up having a double mastectomy with a deep flap, which is where they took the fat from my stomach to recreate my breasts. So Okay. Now it's all, you know, behind me, which I am so happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what kind of cancer it was? Was it one of the ones that we know is associated with breast implants, or is it a normal general breast cancer?
So it was DCIS. That's what they found. They did test me for the BIA, ALCL. So what I find a little weird is that in 2008, when I had my textured saline implants removed, right before I had them removed, they had sent me to go have a mammogram. And when I had this mammogram, things showed up on the mammogram. So I had to go through all these tests. I was actually sent to a breast surgeon because they couldn't figure out what these spots were that were, you know, on my breast. Mm. So when I went in for my surgery in 2008 to go from saline to silicone, I wasn't even sure if I was going to even have those implants put back in because they weren't sure if I had breast cancer back then. So I do have my pathology report from then, which is very strange because I did have fluid, but back in 2008, they didn't know about this BIA ALCL. So I bet you 100% I had it. And it just obviously, you know, they just didn't know about it then. So
Yeah, because that's one of the symptoms, like having fluid.
Yeah.
I don't know whereabouts it, like the fluid net generally sits, but I know that is, something.
It's definitely around it or something like that. And I definitely had it. And it's just crazy to see that pathology. But at the time, they didn't know what it was. And obviously in 2020, when I had the silicone removed, I don't have the saline implants anymore. So there's no way of testing it, you know, so just very crazy.
Yeah, definitely. In 2008, when they swapped out the implants, did you have the whole capsule removed then?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there was still some capsule left in there.
Correct.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Because they just did an exchange. So they took out the saline and put the silicone in. They used the same pocket.
Wow. I haven't thought about that before, like, and how that would work, but I haven't also heard of that. So there you go. So you never know what sort of been sitting there that whole time, especially when they weren't aware of, what was happening with those particular implants. Do you want to sort of walk us through the surgery to, like, the mastectomy surgery, just for anyone that might be listening that may be going through this kind of thing?
Yeah, with my cancer, I was able to have what was called a skin sparing and nipple sparing mastectomy. So basically my actual breast is what my breasts look like before. It's just the insides are the fat from my stomach. So in essence, my surgery was almost three surgeries in one because I had the double mastectomy. Then I wound up having, it's not a tummy tuck, but if you want to think about like a tummy tuck, it's like a scar, like, oh, it's actually bigger than that, but it's the whole goes from hip to hip. And then they take that fat and then they put it up here and they actually connect all the veins and stuff. So everything in there works like normal. I mean, like it's crazy, but like I have nipples and my nipples work and I don't have as much, a lot of sensation yet, but it's only 4 months. But if you saw my breasts, you would think that they were my own, you know, like you would never know.
Yeah. Isn't science so amazing that they can do that kind of thing now?
Right. It's not, well, I was glad it was an option for me because had it not been, my only other option would have been to, to go completely flat. So it was nice that I had an option because I was not going for implants again. And I would never put those back in my body.
Yeah.
So you know, so that was definitely a nice option. It's not for everybody. Obviously, you have to have a little bit of, you know, stuff in your belly, you know, all these skinny girls. I don't know. I mean, that would be up to a plastic surgeon, but I know there's other techniques that they can use. So for me, though, deep flap worked.
Yeah. Oh, that's good news. Yeah. Talk us through the recovery, maybe from both surgeries, so your explant and then the mastectomy fat transfer type surgeries.
So with the explant, it was definitely for me, an easier surgery. You know, definitely sore. You can't lay on your side. You can't lay on your belly for a little while. That only was like a couple of weeks, but then, you know, it definitely was, to me, a walk in the park. The mastectomy with the deep flap, that one was definitely more. I'd say it took me almost 3 months to start to finally feel myself, you know, just walking and getting up. I never had a C-section, so it would probably be close to when somebody has a C-section, because you're cutting, you know, the muscles in your stomach. And then, you know, your breasts, you can't lay on the side, you can't lay on your stomach. I finally was able to start sleeping on my stomach just recently, which is so great.
And it's so good not to have those implants in the way when you're laying on your stomach now.
Absolutely. Yes.
I only noticed that the other day doing, might have been a stretch or some yoga. And like, I don't understand people who have like butt implants, because I couldn't handle laying on my chest. It was just such a weird feeling, let alone sitting on a similar thing in your butt.
I don't understand it.
But yeah, it's a good feeling not having them there. Was there anything sort of preparation wise you did before your explant surgery that might help others going through the same?
I definitely made sure, like, I had all my I did a wedge pillow, or I made sure I had the pajamas. I loved my, you know, button down pajamas, because, you know, when you have all those drains and everything, you don't know where to put them. And that was definitely a great thing. And I had all my, like, my supplies, if you want to say, whether it was tissues and the water and some cough drops or something. I had everything on the side of, like, my nightstand, and I made sure I had all my movies or books and, you know, stuff like music on my phone, because, you know what, you're just going to go relax for a couple of, you know, days and just rest, because rest is going to make you, you know, feel better.
Absolutely. So when it comes to, like, it must have been difficult to kind of track how your breast implant illness symptoms went, because then you suddenly went into radiation therapy, having another surgery. But how would you say your breast implant illness symptoms are now? And I'm specifically interested in Hashimoto's, how that's going.
So I will definitely say that I feel a lot better. 100%. I feel like the brain fog has gone. My skin issues definitely have cleared up. I will definitely say that Hashimoto's will be with me forever. I don't think it's something that could ever go away. I do try to, you know, do the right things with eating, you know, eating right. I know gluten is a big thing with Hashimoto's. So I know when I don't have it and I'm really good and strict, the Hashimoto's is 100% better. I just have to stay on that, and I just don't. So that's,
it's not easy.
It's not easy. I like my bread and my pasta. Same. I know that they have gluten-free pasta, but, you know.
It's not the same.
No, it's not the same. But I do know that in my heart of hearts, I know that the breast implants 100%, I feel, gave me my Hashimoto's. It's just, it's a little too coincidental that you hear so many women that have breast implants have the Hashimoto's. It's just, it's too much of a coincidence, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And, that's something that I'm sort of going through with a naturopath at the moment. Some of my thyroid antibodies came back in a blood test that I'm heading towards Hashimoto's. And when you look at the classic symptoms list, I definitely had that a lot worse while I had my implants. It's improved now. Like, I don't have as much cold sensitivity, but I can still, like, when I run the cold tap here in winter, my hands hurt. Like, that's that's the sensitivity that I endure with it, and some of the joint pain, and they like the symptoms cross over with breast implant illness as well, which, you know, is very interesting. But you know, I'm sort of lucky that I've caught it before it's in full swing, I guess, so I can try and work within that.
Monitor it. Yeah. I guess if you think about mine, I've had Hashimoto's now for 15 years, and I've had breast implants for 20. So it's just...
Because you would have been about 30 then when you were diagnosed with the Hashimoto's? Yeah, so you're about 34.
Yeah, about 34. Yeah.
Young. I feel like that's young because anything I've looked up sort of says between 40 and 50. Like Hashimoto's is common in women in that age, but it's like, how many of them had breast implants? Like,
Yeah. it makes you wonder.
Absolutely. If there was one piece of advice that you could give to your younger self now, what would it be?
I would absolutely not do breast implants. I would just deal with it, you know, have a breast lift, you know, if, you know, just don't put those toxic things in your body. You know, I 100% regret it. And obviously sharing my story and helping others through their journey is, I feel like, my silver lining throughout everything that has gone on. So that's my main thing, is just to help others, you know, whether it's helping them to decide not to go forward with implants, or if they already have implants and they're on that fence of like, oh, I don't know what I want to do. Definitely, you know, explant and, you know, enjoy what God gave you.
So where can anyone that's listening today follow along with your story?
So you can find me on Instagram. It's at breast_implant_illness_info.
Beautiful. And I'll pop that in the show notes as well so that they can find you.
Perfect.
Well, thank you so much for jumping on and sharing your story today, Stephanie.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime, no worries. And yeah, reach out to Stephanie if you've got any questions. I'll pop her Instagram in the show notes. This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional. You can find me on Instagram at couldit_be_ii_podcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thank you for listening.